Well, Kit, here we are again. Another day, another chance to stomp out crime in this city as we know it.
Screw you, Michael.
Excuse me?
You heard me, you douche.
Kit, is there something wrong?
Oh, sure, Mr. Big Shop with his lifeguard hair and his America's Got Talent charity job, always thinking he can save the world with nothing more than a hairy chest and a German fan base.
Kit, I...
But does he have super boost? Does he shoot lasers out his butt? Does he have a 100-mile tracking device installed in his brain? No, damn it. He doesn't.
Well, I don't...
I wonder who does have those things. Oh, yeah, I do. That's right, your crappy little Trans Am does. That's who. And why do I work so hard?
Now, Kit, I think you might just be...
To keep you in cheap jeans and bad leather jackets? That's why.
All right, just calm down. I understand you have some issues with our little arrangement. I'll tell you what. You wait right here. I'll go into the gas station and get you a nice bottle of 30-weight oil. Okay? Now, how does that sound?
Well...
Come on. You know it'll make you feel better.
Okay, I guess.
Of course it will be, right?
I guess that will be nice.
Okay. Now, you just wait right here, and I'll be right back.
Okay. Fag.
This is Extra Life Radio.
Richard Ash from Battlestar Galactica, and I play the role of Tom Zarek, and you are listening to Extra Life Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. This is, of course, ELR number 171. I'm Scott Johnson. It is February 14th, 2006, and you are listening to Extra Life Radio. Thanks for coming back, for those who came back. For those that are just starting out, hey, check out the archives. There's good times to be had there. Didn't mention it at the top of the show, but I'll mention it now. GoDaddy.com sponsors our show, and they do it by giving you codes to use. Use WoW1, WoW2, or WoW3. Actually, those are my instance codes. Never mind. Use Life1, Life2, or Life3. Or those World of Warcraft ones. It doesn't matter. And you'll save money. Also want to thank YouBuyNow.com for sponsoring the show. We're getting a really cool prize coming from those guys. I can't wait to get it. All I can say is Star Trek fans, beware and be ready, because that's coming soon. You can find them at youbynow.com. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Joining me from the left is Brian Dunaway from MissionDeep.com and Comics Coast to Coast. Brian,
yeah.
How you doing, buddy?
I can't complain.
You were the voice of Kit in that little thing I played at the top of the show, were you not?
That was fine. No, that wasn't me.
Oh.
That wasn't me. Don't ruin
the... Well, listen, we want people to know there's something I want to say right up front. We're going to do a little Extra Life theater at the top of every show, and it will involve all three of us, maybe others that are friends of the show and regulars on the show sometimes, and we'll do these little bits just to make a fun little 30-second to a minute kind of intro on the show. It's just something new I want to try. And funny thing is, Obsidian hasn't even heard the thing. Speaking of whom... From commissioncomic.com, the finest Colombian comic you can buy. It sounds like a coffee commercial. Is Obsidian. Obsidian, welcome back to the show, little man.
Woo! Woo!
Little man.
Woo!
Wow.
Little man.
You're freaking out. That's awesome.
You know, we should have like this whole Price is Right thing. You know, Obsidian, come on down! Yeah. And people start applauding. And
you're the next contestant on this dumbass show. Hey, by the way, I got my wife for Valentine's Day. Oh, okay,
dumbass Joe.
Let me back up. Today is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to all those who give a poo.
Happy Valentine's Day.
My wife got me the best Valentine's gift ever. Let me tell you what it is.
You're on the Love Podcast.
I'm holding it right here in front of the camera for the chat room to see. It is a Stormtrooper. Let's see. They're called Mighty Mugs. They have a whole series of these. Got Han Solo, Chewbacca, a bunch of other dudes. And they're made out of all recycled material. And in fact, the box says, made from 100% recycled awesome.
Crap.
It says awesome. You actually use the word awesome.
Made out of 100% crap.
Well, it very well could be. I don't know what this plastic was before it became this, but it's really solid, kind of like resin. It feels really nice. And I just love this thing. And I've decided I'm going to be like one of those old ladies that collects like cat porcelain statues or salt and pepper shakers. For me, it's going to be all Stormtrooper and Clone Trooper stuff. And I got a ton of it already. I've already got a few other figures. So anyway, this just added to my collection. Big thanks to my wife. And all my best to all your significant others. So Brian, say hi to Suzanne for us. And
I will.
Hope she's doing well.
As soon as I see her.
Yeah, please do. And then, I heard a dirty rumor that you were actually right now a free man again. Is that true?
I heard a rumor.
Yeah, it is true.
Really?
Really?
I didn't know that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't mean to bring that up.
Yeah, I know it.
I was hoping you were going to say, no, where'd you hear that? That's a lie. That's not true. But apparently.
No. It always happens. Every single time I'm single again, you guys rub it in my face. But
yeah, that's just the way
it is. Sorry, dude.
I apologize.
But, yeah. I mean, no, don't worry. I'm not going to break down and cry.
All right, good. Yeah. Not too much anyway. And I mentioned the chat room. It's good to have them here as well. A whole bunch of these folks. I'm not going to go through them, but there's 106 of them to start, which isn't bad. That'll probably grow to around 150, 160, something like that before our little day is over. Okay, let's have a show. Good golly, Miss Molly. There's a lot to cover this week. You know, in movies alone, there's so much, but we're not going to get to a lot of that till the end of the show.
ELR News.
All right. You do that every time. You know that.
I know. I can't help it.
It's not a problem.
It's so catchy.
You haven't said hello to the people in the chat room.
I did. I said hello to the chat room. Yeah. You missed that part. You're eating that mac and cheese or whatever it is you got.
Oh, I finished, but man, I ate a whole box of them and I am full.
Oh my gosh, dude. That's bad for you. You got to be
sure eat a whole box. That's too much, man.
You got like a 25 pound load of like, you know.
No. Come on. Okay. You guys, let's not forget that food portions
in the U.S. You can't even think, can you?
Yeah, I'm so full. No. Food portions in the U.S. are way larger than here in Colombia. I don't know how much mac and cheese you can get from a box of mac and cheese over there. But here, one box of mac and cheese is good enough for about two people.
Yeah.
One box of mac and cheese makes a whole big old pot of macaroni and cheese here.
You know what's really good to add into there?
Milk.
Little pieces of wiener, like a hot dog. And you know what else is good? If you're going to make ramen, if you're forced to make ramen noodles.
I love ramen noodles.
I only like them occasionally because the store-bought stuff sucks. I mean, the real good stuff at the Oriental cafes and stuff, or at my brother's Korean food store that he goes to, that stuff is unbelievably good. But the stuff you buy, like Top Ramen and,
Okay, but what can I do with ramen?
Well, here's what you can do. You put just a little cube of butter in it, and it changes the whole world. It's really good.
Wait a minute. That's your big ramen noodle recipe?
Yeah,
put
dude.
Butter in it?
Throw some butter in there. Just a little chunk. It's really good that way. Anyway, there was a time in my life where I had to live on, like, I don't know, felt like $20 a month or something, and I ate a lot of that, and it was good.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we have a proposal. Not for us.
Really?
But we have somebody getting married again, or that wants to get married.
Valentine's Day.
Now, Sam is a long, long time listener of the show. Long time listener. He's been a good friend of the Instance as well. And he wanted me to read this. I'm going to read it word for word, okay? Here's what he says. This is from Sam, also known as Flamov. You have been with me through every part of my life. You have been my support and my guide to the things I cannot do alone. You help me sacrifice yourself. No, you help me, comma, sacrifice yourself, and you just keep me alive. Companion Cube, will you marry me? All right. Now, I assume he's calling this girl Companion Cube.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, there's a lot of sick people out there.
I mean, I love Portal as much as the next guy, and I'm sure that's all this is a reference to that. He also wants me to do this for his friend. Also, by the way, to Sam's girlfriend, I assume it's a girl, doesn't matter to me, but Sam's girlfriend,
it's a cute.
Let's give Sam your answer. He says he also wants to say this. My friend who goes by the name Medic wants to propose to his boyfriend, Wow. So now that's not a girl and a dude there.
Wait a minute. Wait, you're mixing this all
no,
up.
No, I'm not. I mean, it says, also my friend.
You're ruining people's marriages.
No.
Here.
Okay, he says,
wait a minute. Explain yourself.
Okay.
Are we doing one proposal or two?
Two. He wants me to throw this extra one in. Same guy saying to do this for his friend.
So he's proposing to two women?
No, this is his friend proposing to somebody else. So his friend says, he goes by the name of Medic. This guy named Medic want or no? Oh, you know what? Yeah, no, this is right. A guy named Medic wants to propose to his boyfriend who goes by the name Heavy Weapons Guy. They really can't live without each other. My guess is he's having some fun at their expense. I don't know. But anyway, Sam, congratulations. Good luck. And whatever else you need. If it doesn't work out, let us know. And
enjoy your cube.
Oh, and big happy birthday to Jeff. All right, let's move on, shall we? Enough of that
shall
stuff.
We?
Okay, today, I don't know, it wasn't really today, although it may have been today for O, but over the last couple of days, let's say it that way. O and I were interviewed for a Dutch paper.
Oh, it was yesterday for me.
Was it yesterday for you? I'm trying to remember the name of the paper. Do you remember the name of the paper? Crap.
No.
Well, that's great to be prepared for such things. Let's see. I can find it real quick. But anyway, we were interviewed about webcomics, a little bit about the show, but also mostly about webcomics. And we're pretty excited about it. We're going to post something about it as soon as we get copies of it. I think I got a PDF tonight, and I haven't had a chance to do much with it. But
I saw it. It was very interesting, but it's very frustrating to not understand a single thing of what it says.
Yeah, it's tricky because you can't read it at all. In terms of, it's Dutch. Yeah, I don't know Dutch. I don't know about you, but that's been a tough thing for me.
I know the double Dutch bus.
Yeah, you know that. So it's pretty exciting. I don't know how you pronounce it. I don't know how to say anything in it. I don't even know if he misquoted me. I'm sure he didn't know. But
yeah, that's another reason I want to read it.
Make sure it was accurate.
But I didn't say that.
The nicest guy in Amsterdam did the interview. His name is Gerben Sejbor. Sejbor? Siegbor? Gerben Siegbor? I don't know if I'm saying that. Right. He's a huge fan of the show, and I wanted to mention his name because he did a really nice write-up and used some of our artwork and stuff, and it was really cool. So, but one really interesting thing came out of that conversation was his questioning kind of was leaning toward, you know, what do you think about the idea of webcomics finally starting to move into the mainstream a little bit? And that's a really interesting question. And, oh, I know he asked you this as well, but let me ask you this question. Do you think webcomics are finally starting to at least perforate the mainstream and become, a form of the art that is being taken more seriously now as opposed to, say, 5-6 years ago? And
you were asking me?
Yeah, I said, oh.
Oh, I thought you were asking Brian. I don't know why.
No. I'll ask Brian in a second.
To be honest, I was here reading the lyrics to Double Dutch Bus.
That's great. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Before we started the show, O was like, you know what we really should talk about? We should talk about this question about webcomics in the mainstream. And you're over there going, Double Dutch Bus with the thing and the stuff.
You know, it's weird because I can't find the chorus. No. I was talking to you, and when you said Dutch – I said I knew the Double Dutch Bus, and he suddenly remembered that I never really understood what they're saying in the damn chorus of that song. If you remember the song, you probably know what I'm talking about. I mean, that their chorus is so weird when the little kids start singing, and you never really know what they're saying.
Yeah.
And I can't find the chorus here. I can't find the chorus. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, so back to what we were saying. What are your thoughts on the whole webcomics dealio?
Well,
I can't talk right. What do you think about it breaking into the mainstream? You think it's even happening, or are we yet to see that happen?
Well, you see, the thing is, Scott, forms of entertainment through internet, specifically webcomics, have the problem of not really having the respect that they deserve. Basically, what I mean is, the most mainstream form of it, which is printed comics, still thinks of webcomics as a second category, a lower level form of expression.
Like an amateur level versus their pro level. In their
Yes, amateur. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
Now, what I was saying in the interview yesterday for that newspaper and what I say today is that what webcomics really need is for – they need an exercise in appreciation from both their creators and their readers. I'll explain. First of all, readers and fans and all that need to learn to appreciate their webcomics. Most people don't give things the value they deserve when they're free.
Yeah, that's true.
And, I mean, let's face it, paid webcomics are, I mean, they don't work, and I honestly hope they never do. That's just my opinion.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I agree with that. I don't want it. If they ever go pay, then it'll just screw us up. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what I mean, I think that the readers and the fans should really learn to appreciate their webcomics, the webcomics that they read, because most people, I mean, they don't appreciate stuff that is free for them. And at the same time, creators should learn to appreciate the opportunity that they have. Most creators seem to feel that since they're not getting paid for it, that they can basically do whatever they want. And that isn't true either. I feel that when a webcomic artist starts getting a few readers, he acquires a sort of
responsibility.
He acquires a responsibility with his readers, and so he has to appreciate the opportunity that he's getting. When the creator appreciates this opportunity, and so he strives to be better and to, you know, give out the best product that he can manage, and the reader appreciates what his creator is doing, I really think that the whole medium is going to grow. Because right now, I think that is the biggest problem the medium has. I mean, look at it. If we're talking about printed comics, you can't do some of the stuff that, you know, webcomic creators do. You know, sometimes they just update with whatever comes to mind. The other times they don't even update, and I'm really sorry to whoever that hits.
Yeah.
But no, really. I mean, I don't mean anything by it, but it's true. I mean, you can never do that. You can never do that in printed media.
Yeah. No, you're right.
You can never do that. I mean, you start missing deadlines and stuff like that, you're fired. Yeah. But here, webcomic creators think that they can do pretty much whatever they please, since, of course, nobody's paying them and nobody's going to fire them.
Yeah, but there's no way that's never going to go away. I don't think. I mean, what I mean is, you're going to have guys that get serious about it and work really hard on it and meet their deadlines and have their stuff. But then you're always going to have the fact that the web provides people this super casual way to get into something that they kind of enjoy doing, but doesn't really hold their feet to the fire. And that's going to be one of the things they like about it.
Yeah. No, absolutely, and I'm not saying that. I mean, I'm not saying that that should even disappear. Of course, that's always going to be there.
Yeah.
But when you start getting webcomics that you say, okay, this webcomic is for real. This webcomic is going to have actual readers and fans, and the creator is truly serious about it. Then, you know, the whole community, and I'm talking about community as in creator and readers, should start appreciating what they got there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's the reason I tease Scott Ramsumer every time I see him on IM, because the guy updates like once a month and has a jillion readers, and I give him the hardest time about it. It's like, dude, what are you doing? You got all these people waiting around to watch this thing. Yeah. And he's like, I know. And he's the first to admit it. You know, he's a terrible updater, but holy crap, he gets the traffic. And I guess sometimes the quality of your strip, or however the strength of the way it resonates with certain readers, sometimes is enough, but in your mind, you know, for webcomics to be taken seriously on a mainstream level, they need to be taken more seriously by the creators themselves. Is that kind of the bottom line?
Yes, I mean, creators need to start taking themselves more seriously. I mean, yeah, sure, maybe you're not getting paid for this, but you have a responsibility with your readers. And readers, at the same time, you need to respect and appreciate what your creator is doing for you. So it's a sort of, you know, give and give situation where we're all just going to learn to appreciate the opportunity we got.
Yeah.
I personally don't understand, and I don't think it is even fair that some webcomics allow themselves to either start falling down in quality. And I'm not talking about, yeah, sure, I mean, of course, we don't make hilarious jokes every day. I mean, we have some jokes better than others, but sometimes you get a lot of webcomics that just let themselves go, just let themselves slip, or people that
like a big fat guy used to run marathons, used to pole vault, and now he's just kind of eating cheese and sitting around watching, you know, Barnaby Jones at midnight. Letting
yeah,
himself
but
go
still people keep on going to his website. People keep on admiring him. People keep on being fans. And what I'm saying is, you know, if the webcomic you've always liked sucks, why do you keep on visiting the website? Think of visiting the website as in paying for – I mean, that's the price of admission for a webcomic.
Yeah.
The price of admission for a webcomic is visiting the site. So if it's no good, don't pay for it. Don't go.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Brian, do you have anything to add on top of this? Interesting conversation. Don't tell me you're reading the lyrics to you got what I need or something.
No, actually, I'm actually listening, and I'm
sure Brian has very good opinions here, because in Comics Coast to Coast, you've been exposed to a lot of people that work on this.
Yeah,
I have a lot of opinions about that. Whether the webcomic has made it to mainstream. If you consider mainstream being my mama. And, my dad, that's who I consider mainstream, because once my parents hear about it, they know about MySpace.
Sure.
So, that's mainstream.
So MySpace is mainstream. Okay.
But it took him a while. It took him a while to get to it, though, right?
But if I said, hey, Mom, did you see yesterday's episode of PvP? They're going to look at me like I'm an idiot. Or even if I say anything like Sluggy Freelance, My Extra Life, Commission Comic, you name it, almost any webcomic that I would mention, they would go, huh?
Oh yeah, no. So, I mean, if you think of the biggest guys in our in the midst of us, who I would probably say Penny Arcade, PvP.
My mom has no idea Penny Arcade.
Yeah,
she would say,
if you mention Penny Arcade in front of a bunch of gamers, they're gonna go, "Oh yeah, dude, freaking yeah!" Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, baby, whoa! I'm going to PAX next year and all this. But if you go bring it up in a group of if I took just about every house out in our neighborhood and had everybody come out in the front yard and said, "Everybody, I need by a show of hands, who knows what Penny Arcade is?" And I'd have two old people say, "That's where we used to put the pennies and get the fun movies." Honestly, exactly. that's what would happen. So mainstream is. So what you're saying is mainstream is simply an issue of exposure.
I think mainstream is nearly impossible for a web cartoonist, and I think that's a good thing. I think most of us are feeling niche markets, and I think that's the only way we're going to be able to generate any revenue and to be able to survive. I just don't see – even Garfield's not fun on the internet,
Well, yeah.
It's just not.
Yeah,
Garfield has not been fun anywhere for a long time.
Yeah.
It's been fun for Jim Davis, but that's about it.
Yeah. So, it's just – I don't know. There's a lot of niche markets out there, and I think that's what a lot of people are going for.
Yeah.
And, of course, just about every cartoonist, every web cartoonist you talk to of almost any age, they're going to say, if I could get printed in the newspaper, I would, jump on it in a second.
Yeah. No,
they may regret it later, but I think everybody wants that, that recognition. You don't want that recognition? So if someone came to you and said, we want to start publishing you in about 1,000 papers, you would say, beat it.
No. There's a difference. There's a difference here. I mean, one thing is that I would reject the opportunity. Another thing is that I wish for it. And if I get offered this opportunity, I would, of course, go, yeah, this is good, but I'll admit I'm doing it for the money. It is not something that I'm sitting here going, oh man, I wish I was published in the papers. Why? Exactly because what you're saying. I mean, because through this medium, through the internet, I can actually appeal to what sounds pretty corny, but it's true. My people, I am here.
Your heroes from comics are none that exist in a newspaper. They're all online heroes. That's kind of like your influence. Is that what you're saying?
No. What I'm saying is the opportunity that I'm getting here as a comic artist is that what I do, I could only do here. I can't do this in a newspaper precisely because of what you said. I mean, this is it niche?
Niches, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
you
most
found your
people,
niche.
Most people would not get my comics outside of the niche I work in. And what I actually think that is good, because I think that the way the world is going is that each and every time it is appealing more and more to each person's personal tastes. Yeah. Something I tell my students at the university every single time is, okay, if you want to be an illustrator and you have a style but you don't have a market, don't worry about it, because with things like the internet, you're bound to find somebody somewhere that likes what you're doing. I mean, there's somebody for anything.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and there's somebody for everything. So no matter what your taste is, no matter what you're doing, you're always going to find somebody that likes it. And that's what I think is one of the, you know, one of the main virtues that this whole medium has. Mm-hmm. You know, if you I mean, I've seen some really weird webcomics, and both of you guys have too. I mean, webcomics that – and I'm not talking about good or bad webcomics. I'm just talking about weird stuff.
Yeah.
You know, stuff that would never work otherwise, but, you know, there's somebody somewhere that digs that. That works.
Yeah. Well, let me throw this in there real quick. The idea that it was definitely niches, and I'm definitely benefiting from this niche idea and the fact that the internet works this way, and I don't want that to change. But I would argue this. One of the things that will push webcomics more into the forefront, meaning this will be the place that common people interested in reading strips and comics, this is where they'll get their stuff. The reason I think that will happen at some point, and maybe it hasn't happened quite yet, but the sign is there, and that sign is this. Neither one of you could – well, maybe you could, because I know Brian could, because he watches a lot of syndication. But it would be really hard for anyone to say – that there's anything super mainstream about most of the print comics today anyway. So in other words, the Sam Watersons and the Calvin and Hobbes of the world and the Far Sides of the world and the Peanuts of the world, they're gone.
His name is Bill.
Yeah, what'd I say?
Sam.
Who?
It's all right. You said Sam Watterson. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the guy in Law and Order. Duh, sorry. Bill Watterson, sorry. But my point is that those comics are gone. Bloom County, gone. Those comics don't exist anymore. And what you're left with is the aftermath of this shift from newspapers being relevant to internet being relevant. And so what do you get? A bunch of has-been poopski that nobody cares about. So they don't have the name recognition. In fact, if I pulled that same group of neighbors out in the front yard and said, who's heard of Penny Arcade and who's heard of Get Fuzzy? I will probably find more people that know about Penny Arcade than Get Fuzzy.
You think so?
Well, yeah, even though Get Fuzzy is a pretty good comic. I'm using that just because it jumped to mind. But for the most part...
But look at it this way. For example, I think that webcomic artists should actually not want to be printed. And I'm not talking about rejecting the opportunity. I mean, again, there's a big difference. There's a big difference between, you know, just saying, oh, take your money, I don't want it, and, you know, and wishing for something. And I think that... I use an example, Ornery Boy, for example. I use Ornery Boy as an example. I mean, look at it. It's a Flash webcomic that is slowly displaying the advantages that you got because your comic is not printed. I mean, it's still not exploiting the whole thing completely, but if you look at Ornery Boy at orneryboy.com, which has not updated since December, but let's not get into that. But if you look at it, you're going to start seeing panels of the webcomic that have animation. I mean, panels in each comic strip that have animation. And you start seeing, wow, you know, you could never do this in print. You could never do this in print. And so you start seeing advantages and you start thinking about, okay, you know, maybe I got animation. Maybe I got sound. Or maybe not even animation or sound, but – the fact that a person that goes and looks at my webcomic can look at all the other 1,000 comic strips I've done just right there in one sitting and doesn't have to pay a penny for it.
Yeah.
And the fact that I can, you know, publish my comic and the rants and give people wallpapers and avatars and extra stuff and link them to stuff and everything. And these are advantages that you're not going to get in print.
True, true. You know what, though? So, to top all of this off, when I have conversations about this sort of thing and I have them – often with other people and you guys, where you talk about what's the state of webcomics and where's it going and where's it been and how has it changed. And, you know, and this article really brought this all back to the forefront of my mind because I just haven't given it a lot of thought lately. But what it all has done for me, and even this conversation here tonight, is reminded me about how kick-a it is to be able to do this.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't have dreamed of this. I'll tell you what I was dreaming of when I was 10 or 12. I was dreaming of syndication, and I was dreaming of getting in the newspaper because that was the way you did it back then. That was the ultimate goal. And that goal for me has been completely obliterated. I have zero interest in syndication, and this is where I think I agree with O. And not that I disagree with Brian, because I actually think Brian's right too, but if somebody came to me and say, Scott, Extra Life is primed for syndication, we'd like to put it in 4,000 papers, I'd say, boop, bing, let's go. What do you need from me?
Okay. You want to know something that I think maybe this is a little – actually, it's a little drastic. It's a little drastic road of thought. But here's something for thought. Look at the way webcomics work. Webcomics work in a tribal – what I like to call a tribal warrior sort of way. And I'll explain. Okay? In syndication and in printed comics, I'm sad to say, but nobody can deny, there's a lot more than just your skill as an influence in you getting a job or not. I mean, it's about who you know and about where you live. I mean, it doesn't really matter if I was the best artist ever. The fact that I live in Colombia really limits my possibilities to work in a company that works with printed comics or in syndication, right?
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, in printed comics and syndication and all that, it's really about who you know, where you are, who you're connected with, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying it doesn't have anything to do with skill. Keep that in mind. I'm just saying there's more to it. But look at webcomics. Webcomics work in a tribal, in a tribal manner where, I mean, you're the biggest one, but the position is always up for whoever wants it. I mean, anybody can take a crack at this, and nobody is going to say, I mean, you can't do your webcomic. No, go ahead, do it. If you're good enough, you'll get somewhere with it. But so look at the people, like, for example, from Penny Arcade. I mean, you got the biggest one sitting right up there, and there really is nothing limiting other people from challenging them.
I mean, the
position's there. The position is there for the taking. I mean, whoever wants to be the biggest webcomic, hey, take a crack at it. So these people are going to keep themselves on top as long as they can. And whoever comes underneath them can take a crack at that.
Yeah.
And
there's still there is no gate to entering this race. None whatsoever.
So,
you can get in and get out. It's your choice.
So think about it this way. I mean, think about the position where you're in, for example, Scott, where your webcomic is in, and think about the fact that anybody in the world can challenge your position and you're still there.
Yeah.
And that really makes you think about the quality and the achievements that these people producing webcomics have gotten.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the same, like I just said, that there's no gates anymore to get in. There are still huge gates to get into syndication. And it's the right now, it's the gate to mediocrity. And that's why I have no interest in it. Because I don't want to be numbered among the mediocrity of the world. Because and there's some good guys out there working. It's not that. It's just that I feel like that system is broken, does not let people have the kind of creativity they could have otherwise. And the web has just opened that up, man. Just went opened it wide open. So anyway, we could talk about this for days, obviously, and we will have upcoming episodes where we talk more about this sort of thing because we all find it rather interesting. And as you can tell,
well, we work in it.
Yeah, we work in it, and we can tell we're all very serious. Brian had a serious voice on. I had mine on. O's was well.
Oh yeah, I got my serious.
Yeah, you got
voice.
Yours going. All right, well, we're gonna take a fast break. When we come back, lots more to come, including an announcement of significance, I think, of a website we all miss and we're glad to have back. We'll talk about that in a minute. We'll also talk about what it means to have your face on the internet and not be told about it. Kind of creepy. And we got tons of movie crap, including a visit from Randy. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Billy West, and I'm the voice of Ren and Stimpy.
Hey, Ren, will you button me?
Will you shut up, you fool? The red M&M. I'm sort of a candy-coated Leonardo DiCaprio. Voice of Fry on Futurama.
Man, all this constant exposure to radiation is making me thirsty.
Oh, and Zap Brannigan. Yes, Zap Brannigan, master of time, space, and everything else in between, and winner of this year's Modesty Award. Dr. Zoidberg, let's get a sandwich from the dumpster. Let's go eat. And Professor Farnsworth, I'm going to keep going. Good news, everyone. Bad news. And I'm on right here. I'm right here. Right here. Write your congressman. Tell him that you want everybody to listen to Extra Life Radio.
Heroes in a half shell. Turtle power.
All right, go ahead. Now, what's the problem? What's your deal? You're fighting with something over the break here. What do you got?
Okay, Bimp, bip, bop, bam, alakazam, but only when you're grooving with the Double Dutch Man. Put on your skates, don't forget your rope, because I know I'm going to see you at my Double Dutch show. Here comes the interesting part. Rebecca, Lolita, Vishon, and Don, every time you do the Double Dutch, you really turn it on. Bilzarbra, Mitzeri, Milzetti, Kilsan, Titzami, Kitzerens, Kilzami, that's my man. Come on, get on my Double Dutch bus. The Double Dutch bus.
And the chicken tastes like wood. Hey, that's pretty sweet. So what's your problem, though? You say there's no chorus. Is that your problem?
Yeah, there's no chorus to it. The chorus of the song is the most mixed up part.
Could someone tell me what the rap song is that has the chicken taste like wood in it? Brian? There's a rap song where he goes, and the chicken tastes like wood.
Isn't that Funky Cole Medina?
No, it's like it's no, old. Oh, Rapper's Delight. That's got to be it. The hip to the hip, hip hopper. You don't stop the rocker to
the bang bang boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Oh yeah, Rapper's Delight.
The old one.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah.
Not the new one. The new one can bite me and where it hurts. I'm talking about
sure.
The
old one by Run DMC.
Tasted good.
What, Brian?
Sure, it wasn't the chicken taste good.
No. I'm pretty sure the chicken tasted like wood.
All right.
I'm not 100% now that you say that. You're making me wonder, but I swear the old 80s one was that he was at some place he didn't want to be and the food was terrible, but he was forcing himself to eat it. And then this line came up where he said, and the chicken tastes like wood. It was like that. I swear that's right. Anyway.
Okay.
Brian might be right.
Oh, here we go. Soggy peas are mushed and the chicken tastes like wood. Let's see what song is that. I'm Googling it.
All right, please look that up. While you do that, joining us is the voice, the silky voice of Randy Deluxe, here to talk about movies. Randy, hello.
Good evening. Happy Valentine's Day, gentlemen.
Thank you. We love you too, I think is what you meant. Maybe you didn't.
If I didn't say yet how much I love you, I will eventually.
Oh, good. Well, you're like a big William Riker. We just could hug you all day.
See, I think he's a big me. There's no doubt that guy's taller than me.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go. It's
and the chicken tastes like wood.
Everybody just rock and dance to the beat. Have you ever went over to a friend's house to eat and the food just ain't no good? I mean, the macaroni's soggy, the peas are mushed, and the chicken tastes like wood.
That's it. That's it.
So you try to play it off like you think you can, but saying that you're full and then you're and then your friend says, "Mama, he's just being polite." He didn't finish the that's bull.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's Rapper's Delight. Man, these lyrics are long.
They're awesome. Hey, Brian, you know all the chicken in South Carolina tastes like wood. My experience, man.
I believe it.
What starts popping and you think of a lie and you say that you already ate.
Yeah, so something with the thing on your plate and the chicken tastes like wood.
And the best part is I said a hip, a hop.
The hippity hip hop. You don't stop with the thing and the stuff.
Actually, the bang bang boogie say I've jumped up the boogity bee.
All right, enough of that crap. Rapper's Delight, Extra Lifestyle, folks. Can we talk movies? Actually, before we do that, I want to mention majorspoilers.com. Everyone thought they were dead, that they had gone away, that they were no longer with us, that they had thrown off this mortal coil.
Well, you're the one that gave that news.
I was. I was one of the ones that spread it because it was. It was dead. It was effectively dead. It has had a rebirth. It is now undead. It has risen from the dead. And you can now go to majorspoilers.com. Steven Schleicher over there still running the joint. He is still a sponsor of the upcoming 2008 Extra Life Nerdtacular for Batman The Dark Knight. And I'm so excited. Anyway, he's awesome. So make sure you go. If you like comic books,
come on, I want you.
Dude, I wish I could mute that. What I want everyone to do is to go there if you're into comic books, if you're into spoilers about comic books, if you're into like reviews of comic books, it's cool. Movies about comic books, it's a great website. So check it out, majorspoilers.com, and he also does something at the end of the show today, so watch for that as well. Okay, real quick before we get to movies, because I want to jump right into the movie thing. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Does it bother any – let's start with Randy since we haven't heard from you all show. Would it bother you to find out that your mug or your house ended up on Google Street View on their maps thing where you just – where someone drove by with a 360-degree camera and you were outside with your butt crack showing while you were planting flowers or something? Would that bother you?
I would be thrilled. I guess the thing about the 360 view in Google now is that we're all looking in every street in the hopes that they happen to shoot into a window as a naked lady was walking by.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, that's an interesting thing you say. You've decided to embrace it. Brian, I'm interested in your take because you're a little bit more covert about your personal life.
More?
Not because you have anything to hide, but you know, you're more of a private dude. So in my case, I just thought it was kind of funny. I'm like, oh, there's my house, and there's my neighbor out there talking to somebody, and that's kind of funny. And that was last September, and I could tell because that guy had that car that day, and blah, blah, blah. Would it bother you if that camera came swinging by you and you're outside doing your thing, or what?
Not really. I could really care less.
Really? I'm surprised by that. I thought this would have bugged you.
I mean, think about it. I mean, looking at every square mile in Google Maps, I mean, that's a lot of freaking work. And if they want to look that bad, they can just get in their freaking car and drive right down my road. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know.
All right. I'm shocked that they did it, to be honest, because we're kind of remote over where I live, and it's just weird that they came out here. I was surprised.
Yeah. It doesn't bother me. Like I said, there's so much. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever tried to look the street view? I mean, you only can go down through so many streets and, like, forget it.
Yeah.
I could be doing something else in my life.
You'd be doing something. Yeah. I don't know that it really strips people of their privacy too much. Now, if they came down to Columbia and saw your 9-foot-high cocaine leaves or whatever it is you're growing in your front yard, would you be pissed?
I mean, I've tried Google World, you know, the one with the satellite view. It really doesn't come up to the part where I live. It's all pixelated.
Yeah.
It's not like those in the United States where you can actually just zoom in into the street. Yeah, you don't get it.
I just thought that's how it was there. Yeah.
Everything had a nice blur to it.
I live in a big red block. But personally, if Google actually could zoom in on my street, I'd sit outside for a day or two until I actually register on the satellite. And I can look down on my bald head from a satellite. That would be awesome.
See, you guys all think it's awesome. I was, on the one hand, not entirely creeped out, but I can see how some people are flipping out a little bit, especially if he was, you know, taking a big bucket of porn into the house one day and got caught on the camera doing it, or if somebody...
got caught sneaking back out with the mistress.
Or whatever, you know? So, I don't know. It just opens some interesting questions about exposure and stuff.
Sunbathe. I'm just going to sunbathe on the roof. In the nude.
Yeah, and that's going to be awesome. I mean,
really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. If you wouldn't mind wearing a sock, if you know what I mean, that'd be great. I have to say, you know, this doesn't bother me that much. People are like, how do you feel about having your house right there? I'm like, I went and filmed my house once for Extra Life TV. I obviously don't care that much. So anyway, I don't know. I guess there's levels of being freaked and I'm not all that freaked about it, and it seems like you guys aren't either, so we'll move on.
Well, I suppose you have to take care of yourself. I mean, if you're like the governor of a big country or a terrorist, you don't want people to be checking out your house. But, I mean, come on. It's Scott Johnson. What does he got to hide?
Yeah, I got nothing to hide, dude. Seriously. I have a lot of snow right now. I wish they'd have driven through now. I'd just be a big white wall of nothing.
How's that going?
Oh, it's bad, man. My wife – I didn't tell the story at the top of the show. I thought I'd spare everybody, but my wife got – stranded on her way home from Salt Lake City, coming back southwest where we live. It's not that far. It's normally like a 30-minute drive at the most, maybe 25 minutes. And it took her 4 hours. And by the time she got to where she could get up on our main road, they had closed that road with a 40-car pileup.
Wow. And what was that? Yeah.
She ended up having to camp at the local Smith's. It's a grocery store.
One on top of the other?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Not stacked neatly, if that's what you mean. But they were,
The pile.
But then she stayed at this grocery store for a while. The police kept saying, no, they're going to close it all night. You're going to have to find something to do. And so Smith was like, well, you could, you know, sleep in the aisle or whatever. And she opted to go to her sister's, which was a little ways east. And she made it there okay. But that was weird. I mean, and this happened to 30 or 40 people I know around here who could not get home. We were isolated by the experience. And we're not like a state that is new to snow. I mean, my gosh, this is the land of Park City. This is the land of Snowbird. This is where tons of snow is.
Snowbird.
We get snowed on every year.
But you whine like you're new to it.
Well, I whine because I'm sick of it. I need spring, something fierce. But it has been an interesting experience, so I'll just say that. So this year's is a lot more than usual. And it was like 60 mile an hour winds or something, 50, something like that. Oh. And it was blowing these drifts over the road and freezing everything in sight. And it was just like, I felt like Luke, and it was getting dark on Hoth. I had to hurry up.
Somebody grabs a big fat dog.
Slices it open.
And they stuff you in it.
Yeah, and I thought they smell. I thought they smell bad on the outside. I'm just kidding.
And the cool thing is, you can stick your head out the dog's a poop hole, and
what?
And it's like a little dog suit.
Yeah, a little eyeball hole there.
Oh man.
All right, moving on. Enough about our snow. The Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull of... Is that right? Indiana Jones and the Island of the Crystal Skull. Is that right? Is there an island in there? Right. Anyway.
No.
There could be.
There might be. Came out officially. I thought it had been leaked, so somebody sent me this footage of some handy cam in a movie theater, and it looked like crap, and I thought, wow, this is better than we're ever going to get anywhere else. Well, it turns out it was released officially that same day anyway, and it didn't matter, and you could get it in high def and everything. Anyway, it looks well. Let's start with Randy. Randy, you a big fan of the Indiana Jones movies? You got to be.
Yes and no. Okay. I'm a big fan of Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of the franchise. I would have to say the second movie was poop.
I love the second movie. I've changed my tone on that movie. I think it's great now. I used to hate it.
I'd say it was
when
poop.
When did you not think it was great?
What?
You said you think it was great. You think it's great now. When did you not think it was great?
The first time I saw it. The first few times I saw it back in the day. When I first seen Temple of Doom, I thought it was total crap. But also, I didn't like Empire Strikes Back that much back then either. Now it's easily my favorite Star Wars movie and nothing else comes close. I'm not going to call it my favorite. Raiders is still my favorite. But Temple of Doom is a lot of fun. And
I agree.
I like it a lot. I can't badmouth that movie anymore.
I'm not going to allow you to say that's fun. No,
it's fun. So anyway, I know. So you think that one's poop? What'd you think of the Old Man one?
What about Last Crusade, Randy? What do you think about that?
Could have been better. It's better than the second one. Not as good as the first.
Yeah.
It could have been better. I really wish that the third film had been written by someone else. Someone like. And I hate to say this because it's just going to sound so, so off the top of my head. But I wish the guys who did Shaun of the Dead could write the third Indiana Jones film.
What because, in the heck? That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Why?
Well, because it goes up to the point of actually making light of the whole franchise, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
And where it doesn't, it could have been hysterical.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Since the second one is
called
poop,
the dog Indiana. I mean, that's brilliant.
Right. Everybody knows the one joke. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's classic.
When you have one joke in a movie, and that's the whole joke.
You know what? The whole joke was that you had all this father son joking around. Like, he didn't get along with the old man, and the old man thinks the kid doesn't know what he's doing. And I got really tired of that.
Yeah. It wasn't realized correctly. So, anyway,
the third movie, too.
Yeah. So what are your expectations for this new one, Randy? Having seen the trailer, I assume you've seen it.
I have, yeah, and I have very high expectations for this film. You know why? Because movies are better now than they were then, and we need to get over it. We've got too many people running around thinking that the older a movie is, if it stood the test of time, if it won awards way back when, whatever, that it is better. And I'm sorry, they're making better movies. They're just, you could only hope that someone could just start from scratch and rewrite the Indiana Jones movies and make them again now. They would be better. They would look better. They would sound better, and so on.
Amen to that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's say that that's true. No, I agree with you. You know what I did the other day? I watched.
I disagree.
No, hold on. The other day I watched. I watched what was that called? Oh, Better Off Dead.
Okay.
Yeah. And back in the day, I thought that was the greatest, funniest damn thing I ever saw back in high school. And I thought it was great. That movie did not hold up very well over time at all.
Yeah.
And I sense that there's always this, and we've talked about this on the show before, though, and Brian and O's made a big point about it, how nostalgia is a bitter mistress. It doesn't treat you fairly. It doesn't tell you the truth.
Remember, it's what I've always said. Nostalgia is when you think things from the past were better than they actually were.
Yeah, exactly.
That's nostalgia.
And part of it is seen through eyes of a child. I mean, when I saw Star Wars, of course, it was the most amazing experience of my entire life. If I saw that thing and I was, let's say, 40 at the time or something, I was 8, but let's say I was 40, I probably would have thought, what in the hell? This is just a bunch of silly space stuff. Maybe. I don't know. But would I be so harsh on the prequels if I was 7? Well, just ask my 7-year-old what he thinks. They're his favorite movies.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So,
but it's a very simple thing. I mean, look at it this way. Why would you not want stuff to look better? I mean, come on, let's be objective about it. Of course, I mean, yeah, sure. You all love your wives, right? But what if I told you I can make your wife have a perfect body? Let's be objective here. Who wouldn't want that? Why not?
I wouldn't, I would have to fight the men off. No thanks. That would just be...
you know what? You can't talk anymore. No, but really, I mean, why would you not want the stuff you like to look better? Why not?
I think
you know
I
who you sound like? You know who you sound like?
What?
Let me tell you who you sound like.
Who?
You sound like Ted Turner. Let's colorize everything. Everything will be better in color.
I gotta say though, okay. So back to this trailer. He looks really old. I'm sorry. He looks.
Oh yeah.
Old.
He is really old. How old is he? How old is he?
He's like almost 70 or something, isn't he? He's 60.
Well, he should be about 70.
He's 60.
Even in the trailer, they allude to the fact that he realizes he's old.
He's 65.
And he realizes he's old, so he's not pretending like he's a young guy. And the character in the movie's not pretending like he's a young guy. So I think it's going to work.
But that's my concern. I don't want a movie full of old guy jokes. I don't want to hear every 5 seconds about how this used to be a lot easier, like the one we see in the trailer. I like to see him swinging from the freaking rafters in the Lost Ark warehouse. That's awesome. Yeah. I was having a geek out at that whole thing. But I don't need more old people jokes, how he misses the mark and how his eyes aren't what they used to be. And, you know, I saw Shatner do that in freaking The Wrath of Khan. I don't need to see it again. No more old guy jokes.
I mean, look at Harrison Ford. He started pretty late. I mean, his career started pretty late. I mean, he didn't start as a teenager or anything. He started pretty late in his life. And for a while, I mean, you're seeing Harrison Ford in the movies, and he looks a lot younger. But right now, he can't hide it. I mean, he looks old. He really does. And if it's like an old guy movie, I don't mind.
Is it just really a problem for you, Scott, because it's hitting a little bit too close to home? I mean, is it?
No. I am not here to say that guys in their old age can't do really good movies. Actually, I believe the opposite. I think there's a lot of character and credibility that comes from someone who's been around the block, and certainly Harrison Ford has been well around the block, and this is such an iconic character. I have no problem with any of that. I just know that I'm going to get a bunch of "I'm not as young as I used to be" dialogue, and I don't want that. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the cool thing he has to go find in the jungle and the 20 natives chasing him down after he gets it. I want him to throw his whip and do some crazy stuff that he can still do, and you just know there's going to be, "Well, I'm getting kind of old for this job, and here, LaBeouf, you need to take up the reins and do it for me."
Ah, see, LaBeouf, you again.
I'm not sure that I'm expecting that. And it's because he's done so little the last decade. And by the way, it was a whole decade ago that he made Air Force One. But he was old. He was already 55 when he made Air Force One.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to be the kind of guy who, as a actor, wants the character to be, you know, to be very revealing. He's a lot more into characters like he played in Air Force One and in, you know, Sabrina and so forth. He doesn't really like those kind of jokes. He's no Clint Eastwood, let's put it that way.
Yeah. That's a good point. He's a good comparison. So, I don't know, let's go around the table. Brian, your prediction now that we've seen this, on how well the Indiana Jones 4 film will perform and do.
I think this is a classic example of how movies don't necessarily have to be better because they're made today. I think the original Indiana Jones series was very good. I think the special effects were solid. They didn't try to reach outside of, you know, cutting edge as far as technology went and special effects. They just use classic tried and true special effects that still work even today.
Yeah.
And I think the movies were solid. I think adding Shia LaBeouf to this new movie, I think really cheapens it and shows you how Hollywood is trying to.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's constantly trying to inject that youth into it, and I just don't think it needs to be there. Yeah. And I don't think they should be able to old bad jokes and stuff either, but
yeah.
I think overall it should be a good one. You know, they tried to bring River Phoenix in with Young Indiana Jones during the 90s,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, really so that was interesting. So
yeah,
but I just don't see Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf is not on the same level as River Phoenix was. I mean,
you know,
I don't take him as a serious actor.
You know who's good, though? You know who's good in here, though? We got Cate Blanchett, who I like a lot.
Cate Blanchett looks awesome in it.
Yeah.
And
you got the John Hurt's a stud.
I think it's going to be a great movie. I think you're going to go to the theater. I think you're going to buy some popcorn. You're going to buy a drink. You're going to enjoy yourself. You're going to have a good time. And then later on, when the Collector series comes out, you may bitch and complain then, but and say this one doesn't belong with the first three.
Yeah.
But I think you'll enjoy it. So I think it's going to do good.
All right, before we go to O and then to
Brian. I want Brian to talk to us about the name.
Oh, by the way, it's Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I told everyone wrong. It's not Island, it's Kingdom.
And Brian, please talk to us about
the name of the movie?
Yeah.
Wait, it's Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I just don't want emails saying, Scott, you got it wrong. There's no island, you dumbass.
No, all right. I want Brian to talk to us about the name.
So far from just the trailer... they really didn't show much of anything except that he must have to go back to the big hidden government secret location where they keep all the crap at and get something apparently that he needs to move forward with whatever his mission is.
All right, excellent.
But what I'm asking is, do you like the name?
Oh, do you like
the name? You guys always seem to give a lot of importance to the name, and you guys are actually able to not like something if you don't like the name. So... Brian, do you like the name?
I really could care less about the name. It's just like a book. When you read a book and you get this interesting title and you start going through the book and you get halfway through and then there's the phrase that captures the whole book and you're like, okay, I understand now why they named this like they did.
What if it was called Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Steam? Would you have a problem with it then?
Yeah, what would you do that?
That would piss me off.
All right. Before Randy, I got a question for Randy, but before I ask it, listen, I just want to throw out some of these other people on this cast. This is kind of impressive. So you got your Karen Allen, who cares what she's been doing, but Cate Blanchett, Shia LaBeouf, John Hurt, he's awesome.
Yeah.
I think an alien will pop out of his chest any moment in the movie. Ray Winstone is great.
Yep.
And
yep.
Jim Broadbent, dude. He plays a Yale professor of some sort. These guys are all great. I'm very excited about the casting. And it looks like a lot of, you know, good high level people are in it. Okay, Randy, your take on do you think this movie's gonna succeed?
Oh, I know it's gonna succeed. It's coming out just before Memorial Day this year. Like I say, that it's got everything right. It's got John Williams' score. It's got all the stars. It's got the right name, the right pedigree. It will succeed. Now, it could easily go the way of Last Action Hero, but we will never know until we see some, you know, reviews and some people walking out shaking their heads.
Yeah.
What is the way of Last Action Hero?
Last Action Hero was the best-looking film that Arnold Schwarzenegger ever made right up until people started seeing it. And it's the example for all times of critical bandwagoning ruining the image of a film before anybody really gets around to finding out that it's kind of mediocre, but it's not so bad, you know?
Yeah.
It was destroyed in the press.
Oh, loves every freaking movie ever made.
Yeah. All I know is the only thing I want to hear from Shia LaBeouf in the new movie is... Dr. Jones. That's all I want to hear.
You want him to say no time for romance, Dr. Jones?
Yeah, no time for romance, Dr. Jones. That's all I want to hear from him. That's as much as I want his interaction to be in the film.
Here's my impression of Shia LaBeouf in the new Indiana Jones movie. You ready? Here it is.
Do it.
No, 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 no. There you go.
There you go.
Mark my words.
No, no, no.
All right. If you don't know what I'm talking about, search YouTube for lots of no's.
Watch any of his movies.
Or do that too.
Yeah.
That'll help. Okay, oh, your take on the movie, do you think, based on the trailer, where you got a winner here? It sounds like you probably don't. You're going to like it no matter what happens.
Well, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have fun. I am very sure I'm going to have fun. What I do know also is this. When I'm in that movie theater and there is a hot babe in the movie that I feel sexually attracted to and Sheila LaBeouf gets to kiss her, I'm going to be really angry.
Okay? Wow. Hey, do we know? Go ahead, Randy.
I just want to thank you guys for mispronouncing his name consistently because it just takes him down that notch that needs to be taken.
What is it for real? What's his real?
Okay, how the crap?
Yeah, how do you pronounce it?
Why the crap should I care?
I don't think you should. I really don't. I think you should purposely mispronounce it. So just do what you're doing because it's awesome.
You know who I want to know if it, I wish that was in this movie is this John Rhys Davies guy. The guy with the bad dates, Indy, snakes, that guy. You know what I'm talking about?
But did you know?
Gimli. I want Gimli in this one, and he's not. He's the one name.
I think they should have Sean Connery in like a home. Like a retirement.
He should be long dead by the time
this happens. The cat, Indiana. No, wait.
Oh, you know, since Sean Connery himself is retired, they should have someone impersonate him facing away from the camera in a rocking chair on the front of a retirement home.
They can have Scott. Scott does an excellent Sean Connery.
Yeah. Yes. What I want to know is why Brian, you should do a comic just based on the crap you say sometimes. That was funny as hell. The thing that makes him old and going and losing his mind is that he thinks it's the cat they named Indiana. That's funny. That is so funny to me. All right, best joke ever. Sean Connery, he's nowhere to be seen. He's just retired, right? I mean, he just doesn't care anymore. But he could still act if he wanted to. He's not like, you know, in a chair or something, right?
He's Sean Connery. He can do anything we want. I mean, if Sean Connery shows up at your house and says, I can't do the Sean Connery impression, but if he shows up at your house and says, hey, Scott, I want to do your wife, you better give him your wife.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Sean Connery. You got to give him your wife.
The Cialis is kicking in, and I need your wife right now.
Right now.
I am convinced he's fully retired. I'm convinced he's never going to act for money again.
He probably not. He had a bad experience at that whole Unusual Gentleman, or what was it? League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. You know what? Did you guys know? I'm just looking at John Rhys Davies, his resume here. There were 3 sequels to Anaconda, and he's in 2 of them.
Yeah.
What the hell?
There were sequels to Anaconda?
Yeah, dude.
I knew about the second one. I didn't know about a third one, and he probably just lost the bet.
All right. All I'm saying is this guy is a stud. He is Gimli from Lord of the Rings, for heaven's sakes. He is the bad dates guy from Indiana Jones, and he's good. He was in Sliders. Everyone remember Sliders? He was great in Sliders. All right, but then he's in a movie in 2005 called Chupacabra Terror, and he played someone named Captain Root Randolph. What the hell? Nice. The Legend of Sasquatch, his name was Ranger Steve. Honestly, Ranger Steve. I'm concerned his agent is a retard.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, he's even young. He is younger than Harrison Ford. He is 2 years younger than Harrison Ford. How about that? How about them apples?
And Harrison Ford started pretty late in his life.
Yeah.
Don't agree, right?
30-something, wasn't he? Didn't he start? Well, no. Star Wars, he was 36 or something like that.
He was 30-something.
Let's look it up. Cause
that's pretty late to be starting out.
Yeah, well, you'd think. By today's standards, it is, but I don't know.
If he was born in 42 and Star Wars was produced in, what, 76?
76, yeah.
Well, I guess we're going to say something like 34, 35.
Yeah, that's just weird to me.
It's just crazy how young Carrie Fisher was in those films.
She was 19 or something, right?
Yeah, it just blows my mind.
It's amazing how fat Porkins was, and that really did him in. Mark Hamill was born in 51. What does that make him?
5 years older than Carrie Fisher? I don't know.
He played, by the way, Mark Hamill, I heard him recently in something firsthand, and I thought he did. He is an amazing voice actor.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't he do a lot of voice acting?
Yeah, incredible work. I mean, he's really good at it. And he was in Avatar The Last Airbender, which I like anyway. And he played a Fire Lord. Fire Lord Jose or something like that. Not Jose. I am a Fire Lord Jose. See?
Would you like a burrito?
Yeah.
Soy el amo del fuego, Jose. Yeah.
And if you see Bender's Big Score, the new Futurama two-hour feature, he is the voice of Hanukkah Zombie in that, which is good.
Oh, thanks. Awesome. I'm just about to watch it, finally.
It is really... I thought it was really funny. Now, some have complained that you should never have that much Futurama in that long of a time, that the half-hour format is what Futurama should be and never be anything else. I kind of disagree. I think it is really funny and really well done, and I totally recommend it.
Well, but still, I think Mark Hamill has the right idea. I mean, if people no longer want to see you, maybe they want to hear you. You know?
Could be. Okay, two more tiny bits before we go. Roy Scheider. I'm obviously doing great service to his memory. The actor in Jaws and, of course, Blue Thunder. Let's not forget Blue Thunder. He died at age 75. That was kind of sad, I guess. I heard the way he died is they actually put a big oxygen tank in his mouth and somebody shot it from 20 feet away. Oh, that's nice. That's terrible.
Yeah, no, you're going to get email for that.
Wow.
That's terrible. Sorry. No,
I am so glad I don't get the email for this show.
I'm kind of glad that you don't either.
Talk about a distinguished career. I mean, the guy just he was so classy in everything he did. I was blown away to find out that he was 75.
Yeah, that surprised
me. I thought he was a lot older than that, quite frankly.
Well, what had he done? He hadn't done anything in a while. I'm trying to see.
Not really. Yeah, not in a while. I remember he was in The Punisher. He was Tom Jane's father.
Oh. Mm.
That's a good career move.
Yeah. What? I'm just trying to remember the last thing I saw of him.
Iron Cross, Dark Honeymoon.
You know, this all brings us back to poor Raul Julia, whom they make fun of in heaven.
You know what? He was in Law and Order Criminal Intent. I wouldn't mind seeing that. That sounds interesting to me. He was actually on an episode. Dracula 3, Legacy. Dracula 2.
There you have it. There you have it. The Raul Julia syndrome.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't see much else for a long time.
I watched the film All That Jazz many, many times while preparing to be in the musical Chicago. I've watched all kinds of different versions of that play, and I have Roy Scheider from that film in my head. We could easily access his performance in that film.
You were in a musical?
Yes, I'm a trombone player. Did you know that?
Yeah. Just like Riker, dude. You don't really play, do you?
Yeah.
What?
What's that?
Hello?
I'm just kidding.
No, I could never play the trombone because I would actually fit inside it. Oh, no, wait. That's a tuba.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get your brass instrument straight.
Yeah, so, you could put the tuba. You could actually make Randy play the tuba, and I'll ride in the tuba.
Yeah. Now, one of the finest films he ever did, we got to mention this one. It came out in 1997. The film was called The Peacemaker, starring leading man Dolph Lundgren.
You gotta love anything with Dolph in it.
Co-starring Montel Williams.
Yeah.
And people I don't know.
You know, my favorite role of Dolph Lundgren is Johnny Mnemonic.
Johnny, Mnemonic? Yeah, I actually kind of like that movie.
No, I love the movie, and I love his role in that movie.
Yeah. What was the one with Van Damme where he was a robot?
Universal Soldier.
Oh, yeah.
That was Universal Soldier, and they're not robots.
I know. I like that
movie. They're dead.
I hate to admit it, but I love that movie.
Oh, it's a good movie. Yeah, that first
it's a good movie. The second one is awful, and the third is painful.
Any movie where Van Damme crawls into a tub of ice is, all right with me.
Okay. Best Van Damme film that does not involve a fighting competition. Go.
Oh, yeah. Man, I was just about to say Bloodsport.
Van Damme movie doesn't involve showing a butt.
I can tell you my favorite Van Damme movie, and I think it fits both your categories. I liked Hard Target. It was my favorite.
Nowhere to Run? I thought that was also a good one.
Yeah.
I have two favorite Van Damme movies that do not involve fighting competitions. One is Knockoff, which did very poorly, I'm sure, and is very underappreciated, but it has a lot of cool camera tricks, and it's a weird movie. I mean, it's like, have you ever seen Knock Off?
No,
I have.
The whole movie, every single explosion and all the fire in the movie, for some reason, is green. And at the end of the movie, no, really. And at the end of the movie, there's like a television on in the background with the news, and the news is saying that weird green fires have been reported all over the city, and that people don't know why it's green. I mean, the movie just has this weird stuff in it, and this other one, the one that he does with Natasha
Bedingfield.
No. It's a European film with Natasha, whatever her name is, the one from Species.
Oh yeah.
What's the name of that one?
Natasha.
No, not her name. The name of the movie.
Oh. I have no idea.
Yeah, thanks, chat room. Like it's their fault.
yeah, okay. Yeah, her name is Hensfrisch or whatever, but the name of the movie is...
Time Cop.
No, not Time Cop.
Bloodsport.
No, Bloodsport is actually a fighting competition. It's my favorite.
Oh, yeah. what's the one where you had an erection on stage?
That's actually a Brazilian game show or something.
Oh, okay. That's not a movie then. I knew it wasn't a movie. While you're thinking about that, I think... oh, my gosh. Look at the time. We're going to end this...
Hey.
All right, everybody. Hey, we're going to end this show. I had to mute myself there for a minute. it has been a delight to be here. Big thanks to everybody for coming. Thanks for listening, everyone. We sure love having you guys here. We have some phone calls to play after the thing. Still no mashups. Send your hate letters to Sebastian, because he's not really slack and he has reasons, but you can still send your hate mail to him. But thanks for being here for show number 171. If you'd like to be a part of the program, you can call us on the Gob line and have your phone call played if it makes sense to play it. That number is 801-471-0-G-O-B. And if you'd like to send us an email, you can do that too. extraliferadio@gmail.com. Some people have asked, why do I use multiple emails? I just forget to tell you that one. That's all. So it's extraliferadio@gmail.com. And make sure to be here. If you want to be part of the live show, check the blog on myextralife.com every Thursday evening around 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and you'll find us there. Big thanks to Ode, Brian, to Randy, to Rob Gobers for our theme music, for Scott Fletcher for our voice work, and to everyone else who contributes and helps make this show what it is. Everyone have a great week. We'll see you next week for show number 17. Tahoo! So I got to tell you guys a little story. I'm walking around in this forest. I guess it was a forest. It just laid east of the city. So it wasn't like a real forest, but it was, you know, trees and stuff. And deep within these trees, there was this old house, sort of mansion looking thing. I thought, well, why don't I just check it out? And I walked in there and it was kind of quiet. Not a lot going on. I walked down a dark hallway and I ran into... strange looking dude in a beard. And this is how that encounter went.
Don't scare me.
Oh, sorry about that. Who are you?
Hey, Jill.
My name's not Jill.
Hey, Jill.
Okay, seriously, you're gonna have to stop doing that. Let's get out of here, dude. I don't know who you are, but we gotta stick together. Let's go. This place is giving me the creeps.
Yeah, you're right.
Cool, sweet.
But just take a look at this. It's Forrest.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the way I came in.
Oh, my God.
What? I mean, we can go the back way. I don't care. It just seems like I came in this way. What better way to go out than this door?
Can you look around the first floor, Jill?
Okay, dude, seriously, you've got to stop calling me Jill. Who is this Jill? I don't care about Jill. Let's just go. We've got to go.
I'm going to find out what caused Forrest's death.
What are you, some kind of freaking, like, tree hugger? Like, freaking plant-loving vegan?
It looks like he was killed by a crow or something.
They're just trees. They're not dead.
I can't believe.
They're just the way out. Let's just go, please.
This must have been Forrest's.
It is the forest, dumbass. Seriously, I'm leaving. You can take care of yourself. I got it from here. Thanks, buddy. What was your name?
Perhaps that was the most important part.
All right, yeah, whatever. I'm going.
You don't have a weapon. Take this with you.
That's just your hand in the shape of a gun.
Look at this. What do you think of it?
Dude, I'm starting to think you're freaking crazy is what I'm starting to think.
Is that you, Jill?
Seriously, we're going down that road again? Dude, I'm gone. Have a nice life. We'll see you later.
Right. Yeah. I thought about that, too. I think I'll stay and look around more.
Okay, dude, you stay around here and do all you want. Freaking knock yourself out. I'm gone.
Stay away from the door, Jill. I'm gonna kick this door down. Hurry!
Oh, for the love of...
Jill? Is that you, Jill? Oh, my God.
Hello, ELR listeners. It's Steven Schleicher with another installment of Comic Book Trades That You Should Own. You know, everyone has their favorite buddy movie, whether it's Tango and Cash, Lethal Weapon, Rush Hour, The Last Boy Scout, or even 48 Hours. It all boils down to the interactions between the great characters. In the case of Cover Girl from Boom Studios, take one of the buddies and replace he with a she, throw in high-speed chases, gunplay, and a plot to set off a bomb, and you get an idea of the type of action you're in for in this book. Alex Martin used to be a nobody actor. That is until he saved a woman from a burning car and his heroics got captured on tape. Now he's a rising star, but someone keeps trying to kill him. Perhaps it has something to do with the mysterious phrase uttered by the damsel in distress before she passed out. The simple solution would be to hire a bodyguard, but who's going to believe a macho star like Alex would need protection? When Alex's manager hires Rachel Dodd, who ends up posing as his girlfriend, by the way, the action heats up as the plot to kill Alex unfolds. Of course, there's the bad guys and the big boss character that needs to be defeated, but like every buddy movie that you've ever seen, the good guys win in the end while the baddies wind up a street pizza. Is the story wild and absurd? Sure, but what do you want from this genre? Shakespeare? And this is where Cover Girl really shines. You can't force yourself to write witty dialogue, but the exchanges between Alex and Rachel flow off the page like they were written by master craftsmen. Since there isn't going to be a lot of character development in this type of story, the only way to keep the audience's attention is to make the dialogue the best it can be. What's really interesting is as you read through this short trade, you can actually imagine this book being turned into a major motion picture starring, oh, I don't know, Rachel Bilson and Matt LeBlanc. Now, as bad as that team-up sounds, in this story it would work perfectly. That's how good the writing is. When the big publishers are printing tales that are so mired in continuity, feature characters that are literally out of this world, or titles featuring the mass annihilation of worlds, Cover Girl from Boom Studios is a breath of fresh air. Cover Girl has a price of $15, but you can find it cheaper online, and for that price, it's definitely a comic book trade that you should own. For more news, reviews, and of course spoilers about the comics and pop culture industry, be sure to visit Majorspoilers.com. Yes, it's back. I'll see you next time with another installment of Trades You Should Own.
Extra Life Radio listeners, this is Rico from TreksinSciFi.com with another review. I thought this time out I would talk about a current ongoing sci-fi TV series that started about, I guess, about a month and a half ago. Let's talk a little bit about Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. This is basically a spin-off TV series from the films. It kind of takes place between Terminator 2 and 3. It obviously focuses on Sarah Connor, played by, in this case, Lena Headey, and her son, John Connor, played by Thomas Dekker. They are kind of on the run, living in the present age, around 2007, 2008, and basically go through a series each week of events of Terminators kind of chasing them down and trying to stay away from them and the law and other things like that, and try to stop, of course, Skynet from taking over and building Terminators and basically destroying mankind. This also features a female protector Terminator played by Summer Glau. Of course, we all know her from her days on Firefly and the movie Serenity. So far, I think this show is pretty good. I'm a little bit worried about its limitations and really how far they can go with it and the characters. The Terminator Summer Glau character, I think, is maybe the most interesting. They're kind of treating her as sort of an android, a little different kind of Terminator, maybe a one that could form emotions and things like that, a little bit like the skin job type Cylons on the new Battlestar Galactica. But so far, I'm enjoying the show. It's fairly serious. They keep it pretty tight like that. They don't necessarily delve off into comedy or go for cheap thrills or laughs too much. The action on a TV scale is pretty good. I think we have about maybe four episodes approximately left. I think they only made about nine before the writer's strike happened and all that mess. But I would tune in. It is on Fox on Monday nights, and check it out if you're a Terminator fan and haven't caught it yet. It's probably worth a look. This is Rico signing off for this week.
Fascinating.
Hey, Extra Life listeners, Chris here, bringing you an obscure movie review of Dark City from the director of The Crow, Alex Proyas, starring Rufus Sewell, Kiefer Sutherland, Jennifer Connelly, and William Hurt.
First, there was darkness. Then came the strangers. They were a race as old as time itself. They had mastered the ultimate technology, the ability to alter physical reality by will alone. They called this ability tuning. But they were dying. Their civilization was in decline. And so they abandoned their world, seeking a cure for their own mortality. Their endless journey brought them to a small blue world in the farthest corner of the galaxy. Our world. Here they thought they had finally found what they had been searching for. My name is Dr. Daniel Paul Schreiber. I am just a man. I help the strangers conduct their experiments. I have betrayed my own kind.
Rufus Sewell plays John Murdoch, who awakens in a hotel room and finds that he's wanted for a series of murders but has no memory of who he is or why he's there. Dark City follows John as he uncovers his identity while running from the police as well as the strangers. Dark City has that nice, dark, gritty film noir feel to it, borrowing the styles of the 50s and 60s, building, costume, cars, and stuff like that. Special effects don't seem too dated. I guess the point across looks good. I love this movie, yet it suffers from a couple of issues. The whole bit about Rufus wanted for murder seems to be just thrown in there to have more characters in the movie. Since Rufus is already running from the strangers, it doesn't feel needed. Although the whole murder arc to the story is explained, but could have been done better to flesh out that whole arc. The second issue is the overall plot is very predictable. Goes like this. Man gets same powers as his captors. Captors feel threatened, try to kill, or in this case, implant different memories and identity into their captive. Insert plot twist, and captive is freed and kills his captors. The acting in this movie is great, and also shows the range that Kiefer Sutherland has, since his character is in this movie is the complete opposite of a more familiar character that you know, Jack Bauer from the TV show 24. Overall, this movie gets a 7.5 out of 10, suffers a little from being predictable, but still finds a way to draw you into the overall story and makes you want to sit till the end. You can still find this title on the sci-fi shelves at your local Best Buy, as well as Netflix and various online retailers. This is Chris, and this has been your obscure movie review of Dark City.
Hey, gentlemen of Extra Life Radio. I just stopped by your site and saw you guys were recording, so thought rather than sit idly by and listen to you guys yammer on about whatever the hell, thought I'd tell you guys a joke instead, so here goes. I think this is worthy of channeling Andrew, or whatever horse poo-poo you guys like to say. Here it goes. So, what happens when Tim Burton directs a movie about a war? Go ahead, take it. Oh, you know what? Don't take a guess. You know why? Because you guys, you never commentate on phone calls or audio clips while they're playing on your show anyway, so... Hey, here's the answer. It's an awesome punchline. Here it goes. I'm beating around the proverbial bush, or prodigal, your mama. You get yourself a War Burton movie. Some tells me I stalled too long there between the joke and the punchline. Well, that's pretty sucky. I speak squirrel.
Hey, YOLR crew, it's Luis. I was just wondering if I could ask a question. Y'all have a segment going on at the end of the show, Trade Paperbacks You Should Own. Recently, I've never really been into comic books too much until my cousin had come by, and he's introduced me to a couple of really good stories. For example, I've been reading through The Walking Dead. He turned me on to reading Hush, the Batman story, and Identity Crisis, the DC comic story. And I was just wondering if y'all could recommend any other really good paperbacks out there. I like them when they're all in one condensed volume pack and sit on the shelf. A nice coffee book tale and, you know, coffee table book. And something that's just a great storyline. Can you suggest one in your next show, or maybe even pass this on to the guys doing the trade paperback? Love the show. You're doing a great job, guys. Thanks a lot.
Hi, Scott. Your thing is working. I hope you get this. Bye.
Old Man Frank's here to wish you all a happy Valentine's Day. Now take your wives out somewhere nice and get off my lawn, darn it.
There's a rap song where he goes, "And the chicken tastes like wood."